But Paul, how can they be at greater risk today than they were yesterday?
If you allow me to explain.
How long ago, those people who tested positive today, how long ago they would have been infected?
The minister did not allow it, take any.
No, but Paul, I'm saying you are a medical person. So how long ago would they have been infected?
That question was not allowed to be answered because there were no questions taken at the press
Paul,
conference.
You are a medically trained person. If you'd show up as positive now, the likelihood that you would have been infected was how long ago?
Well, that would depend. So these are the questions. So the questions you would have.
Man, Paul, you're not cooperating.
No, question, Peter, you asked me a question.
No, you're calling in to make political pot shots. And the point that you have to make, Paul, is that if a person tested positive today.
I am a Barbadian that care about Barbadians first. I am about health. Health is not political.
All right.
Please, Peter, stop it.
I want you to stop it because this conversation is not helping. All right.
You cannot do it.
Paul, the long and short of it is that you feel that government should have disbanded sports. They have not disbanded sports. Sports will continue today, and at the end of the day, they won't have sports anymore.
That's not the only thing, but the responsible thing to do, Peter.
Paul, and I do not think they're being responsible, and I think that you're being...
You said you don't think so.
I think that they're being very responsible.
You mean by having that thought, Peter?
Yeah. All right.
No, Peter, no. You can't... People need to pick the
Paul, what I would encourage you to do... Paul, I do not want to have this conversation with you any further.
No, okay?
Because you call me and you told me you want to talk about people who are hypertensive and then you're launching to this thing on knapsack and you're taking pot shots. Paul, this is not the time.
Trying to tell Barbadians what to do to protect themselves if they're hypertensive and diabetic.
All right. Paul, what I'm going to do now is terminate this conversation and I'm going to say to you that if you have any concerns or anyone else has any concerns, they can call 536-4500. We did not elect your political organization with you as Minister of Health to make these decisions. We have elected, for better or worse, a government. We have a Minister of Health. And we have a team that is dealing with this crisis. I am comfortable with the guidance that they have given. NAPSAT will go ahead. There will be no gatherings from tomorrow, full stop. And I think, Paul, that persons like yourself have to understand that there is a reason why we have a government and we have advisors in place and we need to follow their instructions. I want to thank you so much for your contribution. Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. But you know, you and I can get a little wrangling now.
But that's what this program is for.
Yeah. Now, last week, you made reference to a caller who called, and you call it a threat. You remember that call? Remember that?
Sorry. Yeah. Repeat. I was just reading something on link. What you said to me that what? That the guy called and what?
Last week, you said someone called you and threatened you.
Yes.
And told you that. Make peace with your God.
Mm-hmm.
And you took it as a threat.
I did.
But I can ask you a question, though.
Mm-hmm. If I made peace with God?
Yeah, how could you take it as a threat when you don't believe in no God?
Yeah. Because it is what he meant to interpret.
No, I feel it. That's what he's holding you with now.
Well, you could reasonably argue that point, but yeah, I would also say in response...
So if a man tell you that make peace with your God, you should easily brush aside that.
But if I said to you, sir, to make peace with God, you will wonder if I was smoking something or drinking something, right?
But sir, if you tell me, Peter, make peace with God.
Invariably, that don't mean one thing. If you tell me to make peace with God, normally you would say make peace with God because I can die soon.
But no, you don't believe in God.
You don't think so?
You don't believe in God.
But you do.
So he can't determine.
But you do.
We're talking about him.
We're dealing with you. If you tell me to make peace with God, it's because you believe in God and you feel that I need to make peace with God because the end shall come soon.
You should brush aside it because you don't believe in God.
I was more concerned about his intentions and not mine.
Let me go a little further down. Now, I heard you this morning. You're going on to backyard farming. Backyard slaughtering. And what? A monkey that was killed by an African in Eden that called the virus?
Or a chimpanzee.
Nope. All right. Now, let me ask you a question. All things were done so far pertaining to this virus that's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any deaths in Barbados at present?
Not yet, no.
Did we have deaths in Barbados with HIV virus?
Of course.
And why nothing was done?
But, I mean, we did what we could.
But you didn't tell nobody to don't slaughter in the backyard. You didn't tell nobody to don't go close to a lover or anything that keeps 6 feet far.
No, but, I mean, the idea of not going close to an infected lover is standard. That's why people use condoms. Have I not been a long-standing advocate on this program for vegetarianism?
One of the reasons why I advocate vegetarianism
is because I think it is a more natural and healthy way to live.
Okay,
because one of the things that you do is you will avoid slaughtering animals.
All right.
Sir, there are a lot of good reasons why we shouldn't eat meat.
And I decided to come to you and come along. The two of you all is the most powerful unelected members.
But thank you, sir.
Country, you know.
I thank you.
And I can come back to that issue at another time.
But, sir, let's be clear. When I made my comments today, I am saying that I support vegetarianism, but I also appreciate that it is a bridge too far for most Barbadians to cross. So I'm saying if it is that we are going to consume meat, let us look at the manner in which we raise animals. Let us look at the animals that we eat, and let us look at the way in which we slaughter them. And that's what the public health authorities have over time learned. I'm not saying that we can go back and blame the person who ate the chimpanzee or whatever. I'm just saying that there clearly needs to be some understanding in terms of how we grow as individuals. And let's take on the advice that we receive along the way regarding the way that we raise livestock and so on. And I do know that there is backyard slaughtering still going on in Barbados. Someone in the chat told me that it doesn't happen. Don't you know it to happen?
I don't know.
It happens.
I can't tell you that.
It happens.
Let me go on to my...
I know that for Eid, certainly, people slaughter Muslims for Eid. Some of them will slaughter a goat or something and eat it. That is backyard slaughtering.
As far as the Muslims concerned, they kill their own animals.
But that's the point. They should not.
Unless it is done in an abattoir. But yet you are the one who always preach...
Freedom of religion?
Freedom... of association.
Well, you could associate with whosoever you like. Just don't kill the animal in the yard and eat it.
And the practices.
No, but the practices, no. The point is that if some of your practices conflict with public health rules, then the practices have to change. There is absolutely no way you can tell me that in order to be a Muslim, you have to slaughter an animal in your backyard and eat it for Eid.
But you know that, as you said, and as we live today, it still happens in the Muslim community.
Well, and in the same way, sir, that there are people who will argue that the only way you can be a Christian is if you break bread and drink wine for communion.
I don't know about that.
But that has to stop, too. Because that is also unsanitary.
Let me go on to my substantial point.
I thought it was your substantial point.
No, that wasn't a point. That was just throwing something at you. My substantial point.
And I hope that I played it properly for six.
But not for me, you've got to pay for the public, not me. Anyway, you answer a question.
I hit it for six.
All right, let me tell you this. You have one of the most educated moderators at VOB.
I said they have one of the most educated and knowledgeable moderators. Who is this?
I don't know. When I finish, you will find
out. Oh, okay, all right, no problem. Okay. Some time ago.
This is year after year, I question what the university is doing with the land that grateful family offered the university for food security in St. Thomas. You remember this question about the other day? This acreage of land that the Edgell family at Jukes gave to the University of the West Indies for, I can call it.
That was in 2008, no?
For food security purposes.
Okay.
To this day, nothing has been done with that land. No, we're talking about food security, no. But you're educated, knowledgeable moderator. So this we are called moderator, you know. That's an advisor to the Prime Minister. That type of advisor the Prime Minister got. And today, now we're talking about food security. And they finish on that for the day. Peter, enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, sir. I do remember the gift and the grant. A lot of conversation online regarding the manner in which I responded to Paul Gibson. If I've offended any of you, I'm sorry. If I've offended Paul, I'm sorry. But I just feel that this is not the time and the occasion to be calling. Look, government has made a decision that NAPSAT will continue. And the point I was trying to get Paul to make is that the persons who are reporting as being infected today did not get infected today. They were infected some time ago. I cannot understand why there would be any greater risk to continuing NAPSAT or ending NAPSAT at this point in time. And they said they will continue it, and let's just leave it at that, right? So that's my challenge. It's 11:48 and I'm hearing music that's telling me that we are to go out to the regional roundup. It seems a little early, but Dennis says that we have a whole lot of stuff that we need to do before. Just remember, 536-4500, any questions on the COVID issue. These are the professionals that can help you in this regard. We have a lot more to discuss when we come back to you in about 10 minutes. Do stay with us. Welcome back to Down to Brass Talks. Remember, around 434-1790 is 30 minutes past the hour of 12. We go until 12:30, and then we take a break for the latest. Of course, you know what's happening in Barbados. We've had two confirmed cases. The COVID hotline is 536-4500. Any technical information you can receive from that location. And remember, our call number is 434-1790. You can also WhatsApp me on 266-IVOB. Or alternatively, you can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. I've received quite a few communications since we broke. Patrick says, Peter, I'd like to ask all our Barbadians to let's deal with this situation as a nation and not as members of political tribes. I'm sick and tired of that. Patrick, I could not agree with you more. Then Margaret writes, with COVID-19 on the island, do you think that technology can handle the workload that most of us will be able to, basically that will happen. Sorry, do you think the technology can handle the load if most of us begin to work from home? And that's a reasonable point. And certainly I was anxious to hear from Lime yesterday whether they had the necessary capacity to handle the large volume of people working from home. My sense is that it's probably not going to make a huge difference since the vast majority of us seem to spend most of our days on social media anyhow. So if we are doing net meetings and Skype meetings and think conference calls and things of that nature, my hope is that it should be easier. A lot of concern over the manner in which I handled Paul just now, Paul Gibson. And just let me state for the record that Paul Gibson is a personal friend of mine, a person for whom I have considerable respect. I had difficulties with the fact that Paul called the program and he indicated he wanted to communicate important information regarding the diabetics and their management of their crises in a situation like this. And then Paul descended into a conversation about whether or not NAPSAC should have been canceled. The point is that NAPSAC has not been canceled, and as far as I'm concerned, that is a government position. Government is being advised by persons like Paul who have significant knowledge in not only disease management, transmissions, epidemiology, infection control, and things of that nature. And if they have advised that NAPSAC should continue, I personally think that we should sit with that advice. I appreciate that several of you will have a different opinion, but I saw this as no basis on which to have a political operative essentially trying to take pot shots. And I said to Paul in an email, look, if you feel strongly about the issue, then your political organization ought to have a press conference to express your views on that matter. Nonetheless, I have received a couple of emails and I'll read them. I would like to have heard Paul's contribution since we're all censoring Barbadians on behalf of the government, regardless of what they had to say, as long as it's not defamatory. Peter is not allowing Paul to make his point. Paul called in representing his political party. VOB did not cut him, but Peter did not allow him to speak properly. So whatever he was going to say is lost in Peter's interruptions while accusing Paul of taking political pot shots. But even if he was being political, since when is it okay to censor? I could be wrong, but if you listen to the exchange when you can, it doesn't rub you the wrong way, then I will stand corrected. And this is an email that was sent, which I presume was a complaint for me. Then Paul is making points about the fact that he wanted to use the forum to encourage Barbadians, especially those who are on anti-hypertensives and anti-diabetic medication, to remain compliant and stock up on necessary supplies. Pharmacists are seeing a lot of trepidatory infections and have referred many to the hotline and to medical practitioners. And I think this is the core of the point that Paul wanted to make. And Paul, I thank you for communicating that to me in this forum so that I could express it to others. I did not want to, as I said, descend into a conversation about knapsack. I thought that was not the time or the place. So have a lot of comments regarding Paul and so on, but let's move on and see if we can deal with some other stuff. Good morning and welcome to Don't Brass Tacks. Good morning and welcome.
Afternoon.
I have a note here. Sorry. Please make this public announcement. Due to Barbados government's prohibition of 100 or more people gathering to prevent the spread of the COVID-19 virus, the First Fruits Pan Fest, the Alumni Institute's Cultural Peace Festival, which was slated for Queen's Park Steel Shed on Saturday, March 28, will be postponed. Please contact the ANNU Institute for a rescheduled date at 420-4780 or send inquiries to the Institute at hotmail.com. The Institute wishes to tell everyone be safe and stay well. Good morning and well, good afternoon and welcome.
Yes, hi, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in connection with this wicked COVID virus.
Mm-hmm.
Do
the
you
virus
think
is
that
wicked?
Of course, it's a wicked virus.
Okay.
Very wicked, indeed. Do you think it is possible that the two individuals that have that have been infected with this virus, do you think there's been some connection with this? I don't know. I'm surprised that nothing has been really said about that further, about the individual that somehow managed to escape from the immigration.
What concern in that regard?
Well, I'm wondering if it was any connection to that.
No.
And if it was, but you can't really say anything about it because you said
you don't know
anything about it. Mm-hmm. So it don't make sense me really asking you to answer whatever questions I may have on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if it's possible, if anybody out there can shed some light, please feel I would like them to call in and say something about it if they have information on it, because it was all in Barbados today to come and shed some kind of light. Because if that is the case, people need not to hamper these things or hide these things. Come out and say what is really happening here.
Agreed. Okay.
Because, right? Yeah. So moving on from that quickly, because I'm sure you have a lot of calls. now, dealing with the two individuals. Now, the Prime Minister, Mayor Motley, came on air last night, spoke very sweetly, said a lot of things, what have you. Now, we heard from Minister Bostic that the two cases that they have discovered, two people that have them. Now, in light of that, is it not possible that these two people already had contracted the virus and is only now coming to light?
But the sir, that is obvious.
From last week.
Sir, that is obvious.
The authorities that be would have already known about it?
No, that they wouldn't have known about it. The point is that the positive tests have come back. No. The point that we have to understand is that when a person starts to show symptoms, invariably that person not only has the virus, but has been transmitting that virus or is able to transmit that virus to other people. I believe it's about 5 days. I speak subject to correction. But the point is that individual is asymptomatic for a period of time where they can be carrying and transmitting, and they don't show any symptoms. If it is that these individuals started to show symptoms, it's highly likely that those individuals would have been infectious long before they arrived in Barbados, and they could have transmitted the virus. And then after they arrived in Barbados and they were showing symptoms, from the time they presented to the health authorities or alternatively were taken into the health authorities' custody, there would have been a further period where they would have been tested and that we would have known. My assumption is that we are being told when government knew now, so they told us no, full stop. But I don't know that we should assume, or there's any basis to assume, that they knew a long time ago and never said anything. The point, sir, is that when someone is showing symptoms, which is a flu-like symptoms, as we've seen already with the ship that came, it's possible for persons to be showing flu-like symptoms and test negative for the COVID. I mean, because that's ultimately, it means that they may have a cold, you know, or they may have the
and
flu.
And it's also, not crossing you, it's also possible that, as you, I'm sure, from what you've read and you well know, people can walk around very normal and don't show any symptoms at all, but they are carrying.
And that's the point. But the bigger question is, sir, knowing that information, what exactly do you think should have been done differently?
I think that the powers that be should have come forward and said, well, we have two individuals. That is a high possibility from what we have seen that they may be carrying the virus.
But what is it? What is the benefit?
Just hold on a minute. Don't come on the television and give people the feeling that all is well when all really isn't well.
Yeah, but sir, because the point I'm making is that when the Prime Minister spoke, sir, there's a plan in place.
There's no plan in place.
Sir, there's a plan in place. And the point is that if you had been listening carefully, you would have heard the plan that was in place. It was repeated ad nauseum. Now, hold on a second. The Prime Minister spoke last night and the Prime Minister said that at that point in time, they are on top of the situation. And at that point in time, they had no information that anybody was infected. You are saying that the Prime Minister ought to have told you how many people were being tested and suspected. And I am saying to you, sir, that I suspect there are a large number of people who are suspected. But the fact of the matter is that a suspicion starts with flu-like symptoms. And on any number of days, there are a lot of people that have the flu.
So
the point I am making to you is that your expectation that you will be told that persons are suspected and that should be identified in number, I think is a bit unrealistic because there are pretty much a lot of people walking about out there with flu-like symptoms today that are negative.
Well, you are entitled to your opinion, rather wicked.
So you don't feel like there's a plan?
Sir, that is an unreasonable statement
to make. And I'm sorry that I am so intolerant to this kind of talk today, but I do not see, how this is helping.
But I'm moving.
What would you like government to do? What would you like government to do? No, I'm getting impatient because this is a major national and global crisis. And they find that we have a lot of people messing about, talking talk that is not helpful.
No. Mr. Wickham, are you going to carry me on? I carried on the last.
Perhaps time. I will. Perhaps I will. And perhaps I'll be fired at the end of today, too.
You can't do that. You're a moderator. You're there to moderate. No, as long as I'm not saying nothing that is liable to ZOB.
Sir, if you are having a conversation that I do not think is helpful to the general public, I will also move on.
And you need to let me speak, Mr. Wickham.
And say, what are you trying? What exactly are you saying?
Okay, thank you very much. Allow me to finish.
What are you saying?
What I'm going to be asking you, my final and last question, I want to know if the Prime Minister, Mayor Morley, and since she is being in contact with a number of heads, say she's the head of chairman of the CARICOM and what have you, would she herself be getting tested? If so, if she did, she should have said, and if not, would she be getting tested? She and her ministers have been in correspondence with other ministers. That is my question.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't know whether she's tested. I was not aware that she was exposed in the way that President Trump had been exposed, where he met with someone who tested positive. I was not aware that any of the people that Prime Minister Motley met with tested positive. But if you are possessed of information that she met with persons who later tested positive, then I would be welcome to hearing such. Calls for President Trump's testing came on the heels of the fact that he was in the company of people who tested positive. I was not aware that the Prime Minister was in the company of anyone who tested positive. And certainly if she was, I would think there's a basis on which she too should be tested. Okay, sir? Thank you for calling. Remember, the COVID hotline, 536-4500. And all of these questions that people are calling to ask about, perhaps you should direct to the hotline. Down to Brastocks, good afternoon. Down to Brastocks, good afternoon. You are on Down to Brass Tacks. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
I haven't talked to you for a long time.
All right. Well, it's good to speak to you now. Today has been a little hectic, as you would appreciate.
You remember the voice?
I do. Yeah, I do. I thought you were praying for the nation.
No. I'm praying for the nation. Listen,
I'm constantly being told I need to read the book of Revelations to answers about all of this.
No, people just getting afraid, you know. But you don't need to get afraid, man.
Yes.
I can get back to that there in the right. I was talking with NASA. It is continuing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have BISA Thursday and Friday.
I'm assuming they're off, sir. I'm assuming they're off.
They're off.
Based on the information that I've received, I would assume that they're off because they are big events. So my understanding is that Knapsack is going ahead, but everything after that is discontinued. You want to stay and come back after the break? Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I was following the interventions over the news and different sections of the excellent reporting by the team here at Starcom. Among the questions that emerged that I thought was particularly relevant is this whole matter of people who run bars and shops, and there are quite a few of them in Barbados. Indeed, some time ago I did a survey and we had as many rum shops as we had churches. The churches are clear on what they need to do. They need to deliver their message through slightly different media. There are a number of older persons who are familiar with social media, but I do believe that they will be a segment of that community that will be deprived of their spiritual food. For me, I am acutely aware of the fact that for a number of persons in this age group, the spiritual nourishment has a lot more to do with the social interaction it provides them on a weekly basis, as distinct from the spiritual nourishment per se. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. So, For many of these persons, their ability to hear the message is less important than their ability to be among fellow believers. The communion of saints is an important activity for many of them. And I do worry that that segment of our population that already suffers from loneliness is going to be increasingly lonely over the what we are told could be a long haul period. So that's one of my concerns. The bars, we heard one restaurant owner ask a question as well, whether it is okay for him to remain in business and open. There are some bars that will have more than 100 people. There are some restaurants that may very well have that kind of capacity. And they need to ask themselves whether the policy embraces them or tells them that they should close. That's one of the important clarifications I believe that needs to be made. Other than that, I think that there are a number of things that have come up on this program that are really just rhetorical and questions that people already know the answers to. But certainly, I believe that that requires some level of clarification. The gym story is an interesting one. Many gyms have two types of options. There are classes, and then there are individual exercises. And the wipe-down policy is in full effect. Certainly, the gym that I attend has always had that policy, and they have become even more acute in policing it before. So you wipe before and after. But the question of classes, I believe there could be an opportunity for clarification there, because in variable classes, you're in close proximity, you're sharing perspiration and so on, and a splashing between individuals. And I'm wondering whether it might not be a good idea to suspend classes for the time being and encourage people to do individual exercise routines. That would seem to me to make a lot of sense, but again, I am not a technical person, and I'm encouraging you all to call 536-4500 if you have any kinds of questions like this to ask. Those of you who exercise by walking or running, certainly there's no reason why you should stop, and this may give you the opportunity to do a bit more of that, you know, to be a bit more of the outdoorsy type of thing. And you can go on and do that. There are also some cycling groups. The one to which I am affiliated, even though I haven't been going a lot recently, tells me that they will be riding as normal this afternoon. The good thing with cycling is that invariably it's hard to get close to somebody unless you crash. So under normal circumstances, that too can continue. So some interesting information that has been coming through regarding what we can and cannot do. And let's remember that this is a national, a global crisis, and we all have to dig our heels in, try to understand better what we need to do to help the situation. My feeling is that let's work along with the authorities, let's take their advice, let's support the initiatives, and let's have confidence in what is being done. And that's my feeling on that. And if you have any doubts or questions regarding what you ought to do, you call the hotline. 434-1790, good afternoon.
You there? We're still here, no?
Oh, you're here. Good, good, sir.
No, I'm going to be brief now. You were saying that the Thursday and Friday program with the children are off, or you suspect that?
I said, to the best of my knowledge, gatherings of that type after today wouldn't happen. But my assumption was that because they started it already, they let it finish.
Oh, maybe the ones.
Right,
tomorrow.
But the ones tomorrow and so on.
Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. My assumption is that they will not happen. Right. I haven't heard an announcement, but I assume that since there are large gatherings, they will not happen.
I was only coming up with a suggestion that you can have the sports, but don't allow anybody to come in that are not a part of the sports. In other words,
the spectators.
The show go on with the children and the recorders and those who are managing.
Yeah.
But you don't want any spectators in the stands watching and cheering on.
It's an interesting approach. I believe in the United Kingdom or France, they use that approach where you had spectatorless football.
You just
record it and you project it. That's something that could be done.
But
then there are so many children who attend the Basat that ultimately you're still talking about well over 100 competitors.
Yeah, but we're also saying that this thing is not affecting children.
Not really, no. Children are less at risk. But then suppose you have a child there that has a pre-existing condition.
But don't take them. You know?
Yeah, but they might. The problem, sir, is that you often don't know.
But you know, man.
You don't know. You might not know.
But even with the old people over 70 has indicated that they should stay home, they still have to have visitation from their younger families, and their younger families live in the house with them. So this is not getting away from whatever is happening.
I just think it's that we don't often know what pre-existing conditions people have, and I think under those circumstances, you know, you follow the guidelines. I heard that there was a person who was well over 100 that recovered.
Well, all right.
Which is excellent news. But, you know, the general feeling is that a person who is over 70 is at increased risk. Young children are at less increased risk from dying. They can get sick, but they just won't die. They will throw it off.
The system is much stronger.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
No.
What is your immune system like? You exercise?
No.
You take vitamins?
I take all my medication.
And you take lots of rest?
Additional things to help my immune system. I eat a lot of fruit and bananas.
You take ginkgo biloba?
I take green leafy vegetables, broccoli and spinach, and lots of bananas and fruits and things. Drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm. And not too much rum?
I never drank rum.
Okay.
Never drank rum or smoke in all my life.
Communion wine?
Nothing, so I don't drink nothing, so.
Okay.
I don't drink none of those alcoholic things.
Okay. So why you don't exercise, though?
Well, I'm a little incapacitated now.
Oh, you are? Okay, all right. Fair enough. I didn't realize that.
I'm walking around my home.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't go out. I can't go walking before I have some assistance, you know?
I see. Because that's part of increasing your resistance. Being able to eat well and to do what you can to exercise. And I think even for the older community, that's also important.
I'm pretty active at home.
Okay.
Getting back to this Bible and church thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You were saying that a lot of elderly persons that are not in a social situation may suffer. But let me tell you, I get better results from being home, listening to the Word of God and reading my Bible and asking the Holy Spirit to teach me certain things than going to church and sit down. When I went in church and sit down, I get less.
Yeah, but you're interested in spiritual food.